Today we're taking up a piece. We're taking up a piece in the Ha'arei Kedem, since we're dealing with the whole issue of Kavana, mitzvos trichos Kavana in general, and the issue of Kavana in shofar. What is the requirement of Kavana in shofar? So this interesting issue is just in terms of studying the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar. Anyways, we'll start off at the beginning here. This is on page Chaf Dalad, Ha'arei Kedem, in Chelek Aleph of the Ha'arei Kedem, Siman Yud Gimel, B'shitas HaRambam, B'inyan Kavonas, Shomeu Mashmiya. That is, we began to study that in the Gemara yesterday, that we require Kavana. Now, it's not clear, of course. The whole issue in the Gemara is, what Kavana do we require? Kavana's mitzvah, or a different Kavana? Kavana that he's blowing. Kavana stakia, that is the guy otherwise, because as we said, the problem of Misasek is lurking in the background. So Rava wants to make that clear, that all the discussion of Kavana is not because of Kavana's mitzvah, but rather you can't fulfill a mitzvah as a Misasek. You have to be involved in the action. So he begins by saying, Kasav HaRambam HaPerek Beis HaLacha Dalad Mei Shofar, quote, HaMisasek B'Tekiyah Shofar L'Hislamed Lo Yotzi Yidei Chavaso. One who's misasek, b'tkiya shofar. So what does it mean, misasek? Which means that he's not, he's blowing the shofar. But his intention, it's not a conscious blowing for the sake of the mitzvah. He's, I guess we would say, fiddling around with it. But he's not just fiddling around with it for no purpose. I don't know why he has to mention l'hislamed. What if he's just misasek?
Well, maybe in order to define.
Well, he's saying that l'hislamed is misasek. That is misasek. A misasek with tekiyah shofar l'hislamed. It means someone who's osek with tekiyah shofar, that he's lessons. He's taking lessons. That's basically what he's saying. Okay. Yotzi yidei chavaso. Did not fulfill his obligation. V'chein hashamei min hamisasek. And so too, one who hears it from the misasek. So I guess there's two ideas. One is the tokeya himself, and the second one is the shomea. Now, this at first glance might seem obvious, no? That if the tokeya is not yotze, why would I think that the shomea is yotze? Generally speaking, it should go hand in hand. I mean, these are not good. Sounds. Okay. Hey, you can answer it simply. And that is, you could say that, well, maybe they are good sounds, but the one who's misasek, he has no intention. He's not involved. But the shomea, who has the right intention, so maybe he can use it. I mean, at second glance, it seemed to be obvious. At second glance, it's not. At second glance, you can make the case that now it's two different perspectives. Two different perspectives. As we said in the Mishnah, this one's listening and that one's listening. This one's listening with one kavana, he's listening with a different kavana. So you could justify. There is a need for both. Then he says, Niskavin Shomea Lotzeis Yidei Chavaso. Velo Niskavin Hatokeya Lahotzio. That if the Shomea had the intention to be Yotze. I'm sorry, the Shamea, the listener had the intention to be Yotze, but the Baal Tekiyah did not have him in mind. Oshin Iskavin HaTekeya Lotzio, V'lon Iskavin HaShomea Lotzeis, Lo Yotze Yidei Chavaso, Achi Iskavin Shomea Mashmiya. He's not Yotze until they both have intention. That is to say, this: the one who's listening must have intention to listen, and the one who's blowing must have intention to be motzi him. So that's a new idea. Not just that the one who's blowing can't be blowing l'hislamed. That's a different problem. If he's blowing l'hislamed, so then that's not considered to be, it doesn't even work for himself. It doesn't even work for himself. But if he's blowing for the mitzvah, for the shofar, okay? In which case he's yotze for himself. But then, if you're listening to that, it's not going to work unless I have you in mind as well. That's what he's saying in the second part. Pashtus shitas HaRambam, Yalpi ha'ola me'sugis ha'gemara b'Rosh Hashanah. So, on a plain level, it appears nira the shitas Rambam, the mitzvos trichas kavanah. That's what would seem to be at first glance, right? Because why is he's not Yotzi over here? Because he's lacking in kavanah. That's the first thing you have to contend with, anyways. You have to get that issue. Perhaps the Rambam holds mitzvos trichas kavanah. El v'tzarichion al zeh masha pasuk behilchas. See, the first thing the Rav wants to do over here is to establish the Rambam's position on mitzvos trichos kavano. So he quotes from the Rambam in Chametzu Matzah in Vav Gimel, where it says, Ochal matzah below kavana, etc. Yotzi yidei chavaso. So that's pretty blatant, that if he ate matzah without kavana, he's yotze. Mean over there is Kavanas mitzvah. V'uyin la'ran la'kesef mishnah b'l'choshof v'sham she'kosvu d'shani matzah she'kein ne'ne. Okay, we're familiar with that. So they want to say that matzah is different. Because in matzah, since he has anah, so he's always regarded as having kavana. V'midi di'achila lo be'inin kavana. So therefore, when it comes to eating, where the person is nene, so he's conscious of what he's doing. You don't require kavana. Ulam, that's machla. Ulam, harav magid, the magid mishnah sham, niskasha b'shitas harambam, v'gamatur, nistafik b'das harambam, imdaito the mitzvos tzrichos kavana, o'enam tzrichos kavana. Well, one issue is that it would appear, again, at first glance, from Chametz to Matzah, that the Rambam holds mitzvah saying Tzrichas Kavanah. Of course, you can say that no, he really holds mitzvah Tzrichas Kavanah, and Matzah, you always have Kavanah, because Matzah is Hanah. Personally, I mean, I'll put this in parentheses. Personally, the idea, the way we explained it, Shekein Nene, the idea of Shekein Nene, it would be difficult for me to understand how that satisfies a requirement of Kavanah, of mitzvah Tzrichas Kavanah. You see what I'm saying? In other words, the way we're learning it, that mitzvos trichos kavana means kavana for that I'm doing this for the sake of the mitzvah. So, as far as I'm concerned, I don't see why there'd be an exception of matzah. If a person just ate matzah absentmindedly. Or, okay, you'll say absentmindedly, that's misasik. Okay? But if a person ate matzah not absentmindedly, because he wanted to eat matzah, but he had no thought about the mitzvah. As I said, someone who's not necessarily religious, whatever it is, and he's a guest, and he's hungry, and there's a while yet for the Seder, so he has some matzah. But he doesn't have any intention for the mitzvah. So it's hard for me to see that if you held mitzvah strichos kavana, then you'd say that he has to eat again. And the fact that he was nana, so what? But he didn't have the kavana of the mitzvah. Okay? So therefore, I mean, the simple reading of the Rambam and Chametz Matzah, that if he ate matzah below kavana, he's yotze, it would seem to imply that the mitzvos ain't srichos kavana, according to the Rambam. Od yesh la'ayim mishitas Rambam. There are other things we need to concern ourselves with regarding the shita of the Rambam. The shitas Rambam, the mitzvah, eino maisa hatakiyah b'shofa. Now this is very, very important. What exactly is the mitzvah of shofar? Is the mitzvah to blow the shofar? I guess that's the average person, I think so, blowing the shofar. Or no, blowing the shofar is not the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is to hear the shofar. So blowing is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the hearing of the shofar. As we study the Rambam, it becomes very clear that the essence of the mitzvah is the hearing, to hear the sound of the shofar. First of all, the bracha itself, lishmoa, bracha Hashem elkeinu melech haolam, lishmoa kol shofar, to hear. The bracha reflects the mitzvah. By lulav it's al natilas lulav, it's the taking of the lulav. By matzah it's al achilas matzah. It's always the bracha always reflects what the mitzvah is. So it doesn't say litkoa, it doesn't say that. It says lishmoa. So let's continue over here. He says, the Hashitas Rambam, the mitzvah ain't a maisa tekiya b'shofa, el hashmiya greda. That is, that the mitzvah is not the blowing, but just the hearing. V'imkein, l'shem ma bo'inon kavanas mashmiya b'shofa. If that's the case, so why do I need the kavana of the mashmiya? That is, you have to have me in mind. Why? I don't have to blow. I just have to hear. Hakol ha-mitzvahi lishmoa kol shofar bulvad. The entire mitzvah is to hear the shofar. V'tiski b'kavana shomea bulvad should be enough. Yeah, so the shomea has to have kavana. The shomea has to have kavana, fine. But why does the mashmiya have to have kavana? That doesn't make sense. Gamim mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Even if you were to say mitzvos tzrichos kavana, so it still wouldn't explain why do you have to have the kavana of the mashmiya. Yim mitzvos einim tzrichos kavana. Tzarech iyun lomuli kavana shomeya umashmiya klal. V'tzarech iyun. If mitzvos tzrichos kavana, so then I understand kavana shomeya, but not mashmiya. If mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana, so then I don't understand why you have to have, either one has to have kavana. Take a look at Halach Aleph in Hilcha Shofar. In the middle of, Perik Aleph. In the middle of Halacha Gimel. Shofar HaGotel. Now, you can't, for example, with a lulav HaGotel, a stolen lulav, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. Because that's called mitzvah bav avera. So, that's the rule. That a person can't be yotzei a mitzvah with a stolen object. Whether it's a lulav, whether it's matzah, and so on and so forth. So what about shofar ha-gozel? A stolen shofar. Take a look at the Rambam. Shofar ha-gozel shetaka bo yotza. This is a very interesting halacha. So you would say that no, he shouldn't be yotze because it's the same concept. So what's the answer? What's the reason for it? So he says, she'ein ha-mitzvah ela b'shmiyas ha-kol. Because the mitzvah is only the shmiyas ha-kol. Even though he didn't touch the object or lift it. Hashomea yota. The shomea was yote. Ve'ein b'kol din gezel. And there is no din of gezel in a kol. I can prohibit somebody from using my pen or any kind of an object. If I say it's prohibited to use it, you're not allowed to use it. It's mine. But let's say I'm singing something. I don't want you to benefit from it or anything like that. So I prohibit you from listening to my sound. So it's not theft. I don't own it. I don't own the sound. Once I sing, you can listen. There's no concept. It doesn't have the type of existence, the substance, that would render it subject to gezel. There's no din of gezel over here. What the Rav is saying over here is that the shofar itself is not the chefta shel mitzvah. The chefta shel mitzvah is the kol shofar. That's the entity. And the mitzvah, the activity of the mitzvah, is the hearing of it. So you have two things. The object is the kol that's produced by the shofar. So since that coal is not considered a stolen coal, even though it was produced by a stolen shofar, because the defect of mitzvah bav avera is a defect in what has to be regarded as the chafta shel mitzvah. By lulav, there is the chafta shel mitzvah, is the actual lulav. So if the lulav is stolen, so then it's defective, you can't use it. But by shofar, the chafta shel mitzvah is the sound. So the sound that's produced is not a stolen sound. So it's clear that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah is shmiya, not tekiya. And if that's the case, then you have to ask a lot of questions, because does that mean that anybody can blow the shofar? What about a woman who's not commanded, or a katan? They have many, many cases the Rambam brings down. All right, so what about some type of some kind of machine that would just blow the air? So clearly that would not be good. Because even though we're saying that the essence of the mitzvah is shmiya, but What do you have to hear? You have to hear kol shofar. So what's kol shofar? Kol shofar is tekiah, requires tekiah. Without tekiah, there's an entity of tekiah. If what are you hearing? Then you're just hearing noises. So by definition, the kol shofar cannot be produced by a machine. It's not considered to be a tekiah. It's only the mice of tekiah which produces the kol shofar. But more than that, for example, in Halacha Beis, so he says that kol mi she'eino chayev b'davar eino motzi es hachayev yidei chavaso. Whoever is not obligated in the mitzvah can't be motzi, someone who is. Lefichach isha o katan she'taku b'shofar hashomei mehen lo yotza. So not only the case you mentioned, that goes without saying, but if a woman or a child blew, so you can't be yotzei with that. Even though we're saying that the mitzvah is a shmir. It's different than the first case. In the case where it's just some kind of wind, that you squirt some kind of wind, an air machine, whatever it is, a blower, assuming you could work it out, obviously, and it could produce the sounds, so no one, that's nothing, that's not a tekiah. But where you have a human being, where you have a woman is, she's not mechuyev b'davar, but she gets a mitzvah, or a katan. So that's, lechora, that should be more of an issue, so why not? They do have a sound that's being produced. You can't say it's not a sound. And here the Rambam is invoking the principle that somebody who's not can't be motzi. So you see that even though the essence of the mitzvah is the shmiya, you can't eliminate the concept of tekiah. There are dinim that pertain to tekiah as well. Of course, the big question is, no matter what you're going to say, all right, so you need to have tekiah, and the one who does the tekiah must be a qualified individual vis-a-vis the mitzvah. Okay, fine. But the biggest question of all will be, so the tekiah is needed in order to produce the call, right? But the shomea, all he has to be concerned about is listening. Why is it that that he has to have in mind that the person is blowing for him? What is that? Why do I have to be blowing? You see, that's going to be the biggest question of all. Let me just repeat this one more time. That we can see that even though the mitzvah is shmia, still in all, we can understand why there are requirements in terms of the entity to create. Who creates the tekiah? It's someone who's mechuyev b'davar. So you have to have a tokeah, because the only way the sound can be created is through a maisa tekiah. That we understand. And the individual who is capable of producing the requisite sound has to be someone who's in the mitzvah, who's commanded in the mitzvah. That we understand. But there's a further requirement, and that is that you, the listener, has to be connected to the actual maisa. That is, I'm doing it for you, and you have a mind that you have a mind, and so therefore the maisa is being related to you. That becomes the biggest question of all. You see? Because if my obligation is not just shmiya but also tekiah, right? So then I understand it. But if my obligation is just shmiya, so what do I have to be concerned? What do I have to be involved in the maisa mitzvah? I don't have to be involved in what do I have to be involved in the maisa tekiah? Now we're going to continue with Harei Kedem. V'chas v'alzeh Rabbeinu. Now this Rabbeinu is a reference to the Rav, because these are notes. The Harei Kedem is written by students of the Rav. The Rav did not write this himself. Okay? So the students, I mean, these are very, very good students, and it's very good. Nevertheless, the truth is the truth. It's not from the Rav. So Rabbeinu wrote, actually I got that, B'chsav Yad, they have a Chsav Yad. B'shem HaGrach, the Grach of course is Reb Chaim, that's the Rav's grandfather. Okay, the one who's generally regarded as the founder of the Brisker Derech. B'zeh HaLashon, he wrote with these words, quote, V'hinei shamati mipi Adoni Yavi Mori, that says, I heard from my father, Shlita, B'shem Hagon Achas. In other words, his father told him over in the name of his grandfather. Shehiksha Amai Be'inin Kavana Shamea Mashmiya B'Shofa, who raised the question, why do you require Kavana of Shomea U'Mashmiya? HaMitzvah L'Shmoa, the mitzvah is to hear. And Kain Lo Be'inin Klal Tekiyas HaMashmiya Shetetzarif L'Gavi HaShomea. So therefore, what do I care if the Tekiyah of the Mashmiya relates to me? He has to have me in mind. Well, what difference does it make? As long as he produces a valid sound, and I heard it. V'tireitz b'shnei ofanim. And he answered in two ways. And the first one is a very, very big point. This is a very big point. That when we say that the essence of the mitzvah is l'shmoa, is the shmiya, does that mean to say that there's no, that the blowing of the shofar is not considered to be a mitzvah? It doesn't have the status of being a maisa mitzvah? We're familiar with the concept. We've just been discussing this with regard to the inyan of teshuvah, that there are different facets to a mitzvah. That there's the activity of the mitzvah, there's the so-called maisa mitzvah, but then there is the kiyum mitzvah. That the maisa mitzvah is the means by which a certain result is achieved. And the essence, the fulfillment of the gavra, relies in that result. You have many. I mean, the mitzvah in tefillin is basically that the person should wear the tefillin, the mitzvah of the talis. But there's a maisa, the maisa of lohaniach, to place, the placing of the tefillin. Right? Ukshartem leos, you should bind them. Yeah, but it should be for a nos. I mean, you have the maisa mitzvah of binding them, but the objective is not, it's not an end in itself, just to bind. Right, the binding is to produce a certain result, that the person should be in a certain state, that he's ma'utar b'tfilin. And the same is true with the talis. Lehis'atev. Lehis'atev is an action, to enwrap yourself. That's the maisa mitzvah. But it's not an end in itself, that a person should just enwrap himself and that's it, and put the talis away. That's no kiyum b'fnei atzmusa. In just doing that activity. The kiyum of that activity is that now the gavra is ma'utaf. He's ma'utaf. The Rambam introduces this point. It becomes a very significant point that there are two mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs where that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the activity. And once you do the activity, that's it. For example, eating matzah. It's not a kiyum that your stomach should have matzah in it. It's the activity of eating. That's the whole essence of the mitzvah. And mida'ag be'yotza, the mitzvah of lulav. The mitzvah of lulav is to take it. The netila, to take the lulav. Mida'ag be'yotza, as soon as he picks it up, he's yotza. It's that activity. It does not produce, it doesn't produce a certain result, a certain kiyum. This is a very, very significant answer in its own right. That is to say, as we were saying by tshuva, there's the maisa mitzvahs vidui, lesvados. But is vidui per se? Or no? It's the kiyum, is that he should, the tshuva. The tshuva is the, but the tshuva should come about through vidui. Okay? But if a guy just does vidui, and there's no, the act of vidui per se is not the mitzvah. Because if a guy just does vidui, and he didn't abandon the chait, so it's nothing, it's meaningless. But if it's in conjunction with abandonment, then it produces the appropriate result. So basically what he's saying over here is that while it's true, you have to hear, but the hearing has to come about through what? Through the Mais Tekiyah. The Mais Tekiyah is the Mais HaMitzvah. So therefore what he's saying is like this, is that Shofar does have a Mais HaMitzvah, and the act of blowing is regarded as a Mais HaMitzvah. And now you understand even better why the katan, the isha, someone who's not mitzvah, right, can't do because they can't do the mitzvah for you, because what they're doing is engaging in a maisa mitzvah. It has the status of a maisa mitzvah. And if that's the case, that I have to do the maisa, so I have to do the maisa mitzvah. Everybody has to do the maisa mitzvah. Okay, so then Shmiya is the essence of the mitzvah. That's the kiyum. Shmiya is the essence of the mitzvah. But you can't just have shmiya without also performing the maisa mitzvah, which enables you to have the shmiya. Oh, so therefore, I have to be, it's got to be considered my maisa. That I was the tokeya. I have to do the tokeya. But since there's a mechanism of shomea ka'one, and it works, we're not going to take up on why it works, but it's a separate issue. But let's, for the time being, we're assuming that it's no different than speech. That just like I could say a bracha for you because of the principle of shomea ka'one, the shomea ka'one works by shofar as well. Okay? I mean, look, I'm just mentioning now. I'm not going to go into the whole. It's not that simple. Why should it work by... why should the principle of shomea ka'one work by tekiah? It's a maisa. I can't shake the lulav for you and have you in mind. You see? All right. I didn't bring it up to go into it right now. That's a separate discussion. But right now, we're operating on the assumption that it does work. Indeed, that's what I'm sure the rabbi announces. I announce in my shul before the brachos that everybody should have in mind. With the brachos, of course, shomei ka'ona, but more than that, with the tekiyos. Because everybody knows already that bracha, you know, everybody knows that concept. But the one who's blowing the shofar and the audience has to have in mind that they are partaking of his tekiyah as well. It's as though you're blowing the shofar. Ah, so that became very, very trouble. Okay, so the first answer takes care of all the problems. Once you say it's a beautiful solution, that is, all the requirements that would pertain if indeed the mitzvah were litkoa are in effect. Because while that's not the mitzvah, meaning that's not the essence of the mitzvah, but it still constitutes mitzvah. The blowing of the shofar is mitzvah. It's not just a preparatory. It's not just a prep. What do I mean? For example, the mitzvah of sukkah is the mitzvah of his dwelling. You see? Dwelling. But I could be yotzei with your sukkah. I don't have to make the sukkah. I don't have to make the sukkah. I just dwell. I do an act. That's the act of the mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah to make the sukkah? No, it's not a ma'aseh mitzvah. I don't have to prepare the sukkah for myself. All I have to do is dwell. So what is the activity of making the sukkah? That's a preparatory. It's a hechitimtza. It's a means to an end. But no one is going to say you don't make a bracha to construct the sukkah. Nobody, there's no such concept. And therefore, anybody pretty much can make the sukkah. Someone who's not mechuyev b'dava can make the sukkah, because that's not the mitzvah. Secondarily, the person who built the sukkah, painstakingly and so on and so forth, but didn't dwell in it, didn't get the mitzvah. It's the same thing like the baking of the matzah. There's no mitzvah to bake matzah. There's no requirement that the matzahs I eat must be the matzahs that I baked. No such requirement. And everybody understands that. It's not a very difficult concept. The mitzvah is to eat matzah. The reality of human existence is that matzah doesn't come into being unless somebody makes it. As a sukkah doesn't come into being unless somebody makes it. So, but that's just a means to an end. However, now one could take, that's why this is a chiddush. Now one could take the same approach. With regard to shofar, you might have thought the same thing. So if that's the case, the mitzvah shmi, and the producing of the sounds is merely the hechitimtza. Obviously, you can't be shmi unless there's sound. And that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that in this case, there is a mitzvah in the tekiah. But that's not the conclusion. Here, you see, the same way one could have said that there's no mitzvah to put on there's no mitzvah to put on the mezuzah. One could have said that. Likvoa, to do the actual mitzvah of putting it on, the mitzvah is that the house should have a mezuzah. That's the mitzvah. You move into a house which has kosher mezuzahs, you don't have to take them off and put them on again. It would be wrong. You wouldn't know. I'm assuming you know that they're kosher. They were just the person who lived there just had them checked. So that's not... But the activity of putting them on is a ma'isa mitzvah. So I'm not going into why this in this case this is a ma'isa mitzvah, but baking the matzah is not. I'm not going into that. Which is another side, window, so to speak, to go into it. Because it's all Torah. But what Reb Chaim is saying is that this is not akin to building the sukkah. This is akin to the mice of putting on the mezuzah. Obviously, it's not the ma'isa. That's the essence. The ma'ya, the essence, is the result that there's a mezuzah on the wall. Okay? Beis, he says, a second answer. As he says, v'tireitz b'shnei ofanim. Beis, the below kavana shomea umashmiya, without the kavana of the shomea umashmiya, havi ha-shomea stam misasek, the eino osaklom. This answer is that, no, you don't have to say that it's a ma'isa mitzvah. But rather, it's a different concept. And that is that the person cannot fulfill the mitzvah unless he's actively involved. He has to be actively involved in the mitzvah. And stam shomea is not considered to be involvement. He's just a shmei, that's mesasek. The person, let's put it this way, put it a different way. There's no maisa of shmiya. Shmiya is not a maisa. You see? So it's nothing. I'm just sitting around, and you can't differentiate. You're listening intently to a sound, and you're just leaning back in your head. It's all the same. It's mesasek. It's not active involvement. So therefore, you're not considered to be someone who's osa mitzvah. So how do you solve this problem? According to this, it seems that what he's saying is that it's impossible to have a mitzvah that's just shmiya. It's not because by definition you're mesasek. Hearing is not doing. It's not action. So you're mesasek. That's what he wants to say. It seems to me. Thus, you'd have a problem to structure a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is just to hear. So what connects you to the mitzvah and removes you from the category of being a mesasek and makes you actively involved in the sound that you're hearing is the fact that you belong to it. But when you're actively engaged and you're producing the sound, so then the shmiya is not a mesasek. The gavur can't be a mesasek. He cannot passively relate to the mitzvah through passivity. So that basically would be no different than if he's absent-mindedly, just happens to be walking through the street and hears something. You see, absent-mindedly, it's not enough. It's not enough because he's still a mesasek. So how do you remove the gavra from being a mesasek? Through the activity of tekiah. Oh, once we say that you need the activity of tekiah, right? So then my tekiah has to relate to you. Doesn't mean that each person himself has to do the physical blowing, right? But you got to be connected to the tekiah. Because only by connection to the tekiah can you be active and remove yourself from the status of being mesasek. Comes into the play, what mechanism? Shomei kona. Now that's very, very important. It would be akin, let's say I asked you to blow for me. So I'm involved in the blowing. Because even though I'm not doing the physical blowing, but I've commissioned you to blow for me. So I'm not passive. I'm not just a passive hearer. But to just hear something and not, it's not my sound that I produced, that means that I'm passive. So according to this, this is a different answer. According to this, it's not that the blowing constitutes a ma'isa mitzvah. It's not that. It's rather that the blowing is necessary due to the unique nature of the mitzvah of shofar, which is shmiya, which now raises up the big problem of what? Of misasek. So therefore, in order to remove the problem of misasek, that a person shouldn't be considered a misasek vis-a-vis the mitzvah, he has to be involved in the mitzvah in an active kind of a way. What's the active kind of a way? Through the tekiah. If you want to put it a different way, it's a different sound, or it's a different listening, when the listening is a result of what you're saying. It's different than if I'm listening to something which I had nothing to do with its production. So then it's just an accident. It's just mesasek, just an accidental sound, and I had nothing to do with it, and I heard it. That's considered to be a mesasek vis-a-vis the mitzvah. You must be actively involved in the mitzvah. Now let's go further. In truth, both of these answers are connected. Because halachically speaking, I guess in any sense, hearing is not an action. It's passive. Right? It's not considered an action. What did I do? I just heard. for example, can you have a law that you're not allowed to listen to certain things? Hate speech or whatever it is. Things that are considered to be seditious, I mean, anti-patriotic, whatever it is. I'm just saying for argument's sake. So, but that's not an action. Well, yeah, but let's say it's being held in a certain place and you go to hear it, so then your action, that's not a passive hearing. You went there to hear it, so then you could be prosecuted. You see? Because it turns out that the hearing is an action. In this case, the hearing is connected to an action. But if you just happen to be there, yeah, you're just sitting back and relaxing somewhere in a park and somebody gets up there and starts making the speech, so I didn't do anything. I heard, well, I mean, that's just by a breathe too. I mean, that's just a natural thing. I don't have to shut my ears down. You see? So that would be a different phenomenon. That would be where a guy could say, I wasn't listening, I was just a misasik. You see? But where you went there, you walked to the park to hear it, so then you're not a misasik. So what he's saying is as follows. That the shmia biatzma lo havi maisa klal. Shmia alone is not considered to be a maisa. Ubainon la tekiya the maisa mitzvah. And thus you need the tekiya to be the maisa mitzvah. Dibali ha tekiya. Because without tekiya, mikre eino osa maisa mitzvah klal. Lavi misasik. The one level is that you need the tekiya. The tekiya is needed in order to render the gavra into someone who's doing a mitzvah. What's he doing? He's not. It's passivity. He's got to connect to the mitzvah. Hare de binogeya lekiyam lo ba'in and klal lechavana shomea. That is, with regard to the kiyum, which is shmiya. So then you don't really require the kavana of the shomea. Now he's analyzing, you need kavanas shomea umashmiya. Okay? So what do you need? Where does it fit in? What's it needed for? So, with regard to the kiyum, you don't require kavanas shomea. Daha kiyum chal alidei shmiya. Because the kiyum takes place through shmiya. V'rak l'maisa ha-mitzvah tzrichin l'chavana shomea. It's only for the maisa ha-mitzvah that you require the kavana of the shomea. Kidei shi'etztarif ha-shomea l'maisa ha-mitzvah dat kiya. Okay? V'zehu kifima she'kosav nuliel. D'chol din kavana Nemar b'chalo shem maisa mitzvah, v'lo b'kiyuma. In other words, what he's saying is like this, that don't forget the other problem of mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. So he's resolving, this resolution is in line with the idea that the Rambam does not require kavanos mitzvah. Okay? So, when we say that, you have to have the kavana of the mashmiya and the shomea, right? The kavana of the shomea is not that he's shomea for the sake of mitzvah. The kavana of the shomea is with regard to the maisa tekiya. That he has kavana, that this is my maisa tekiya. That I want that, you see, that he's relating, he's connecting that maisa tekiya to himself. Okay? Because otherwise, he's not considered to be a shomea. Otherwise, he's not considered to be an osa mitzvah. He can't fulfill a mitzvah that way. Otherwise, he's considered to be a misasik. So the maisa ha-mitzvah is essential for that purpose. And thus, this is what the Rama means, that the kavana of the shomea, they have to have kavana shomea mashmiya. That the kavana of the shomea is with regard to the maisa of the mashmiya. And of course, the mashmiya, it can't be a one-sided street, obviously. In other words, it just has to be reciprocated. In order for this to be considered, when one person is doing the tekiya, in order for this to work, and for this to be your tekiya, it's got to be both sides. That I have you in mind, and you have me in mind. We have to have each other in mind. It's not enough of just one without the other. Uvinogela divrei Adoni avi zikenai. That is his grandfather. Hagoyin Zatzal, that's Rechaim. Diaf alpi the kiyam mitzvah shofar hushmiya, that even though the kiyam of the mitzvah is shofar, mikol makom maisa mitzvah huatakiya, he's explaining both ideas. Okay? He's explaining, he's sort of combining both ideas. According to Rav Chaim, that even though the essence of the mitzvah, as we said, is the Shmiya, but nevertheless, it's got to come about through a Maisa mitzvah. The Tekiyah is considered a Maisa mitzvah. So we call Makam Maisa mitzvah, Hiya Tekiyah, near a Li Lahavi Raya. This is the Rav, is going to bring a Raya. Mehod the Nechlaku Harishonim. So you do find that there's a machlokus among the Rishonim whether the Birkas HaMitzvah is litkoa or lishmoa, right? And obviously, if you say the mitzvah shmiya, so we do it lishmoa, right? What's the lechor tzarichin? Habavadei tzrichin anu levarach lishmoa. I mean, at first glance, of course you have to say lishmoa. What's the basis to say litkoa? Doha hashmiya ma'akeves. Because Shmiya is ma'akev. Without Shmiya, there's no mitzvah. There's, if a guy blew the shofar, but didn't hear what he was blowing, so he wasn't yotzei the mitzvah. V'kiyam ha-mitzvah yidei Shmiya. Baram lefi divrei Adoni aviz kenai hagon nicha. He says, nevertheless, according to Reb Chaim, it's nicha. We could already see the answer, right? Because that's only if you posit that there's no ma'isa mitzvah at all with regard to tekiya. But according to Reb Chaim, even though the kiyam mitzvah shmiya, but the tekiyah constitutes a ma'isa mitzvah. If that's the case, so then the question arises, perhaps the bracha should reflect the ma'isa mitzvah. Ah, so that's the ha'an nimtza, the ma'isa mitzvah hu ha'tekiyah. It turns out that the ma'isa mitzvah is the tekiyah. V'rak the kiyuma chal yidei ha'shmiya. It's only that the kiyam, it's not complete. The completion of the mitzvah, of course, and the end result and the objective is through Shmiya. Ubezehu de nechlaku al ma anu mevarchim. And thus, there's a machlokus. What do we make a bracha on? Al ma'isa mitzvah or al kiyama mitzvah? Ad kan lashon Rabbeinu. I would just like to add something, just for starters, that at first glance, the concept of, I think the Rav talks about it in a different place, but the concept of Shomea Ka'one is, at first glance, difficult in this situation. In another place, I mean, the Rebbe elucidates the idea, and it's significant. Because essentially, the idea of Shomea Ka'one is speech. Speech, that if I hear something, if I listen intently, it's though I uttered it myself. Okay? So therefore, you have in mind that you're saying it from me, and I have in mind that this should be my utterance, so then it's like I said it myself. And that's easier to understand. In general, people can understand that because I can appoint you to speak on my behalf. Or sometimes we're a group and one person, we're all making the petition, one person, I'm speaking here on behalf of all these people. So each one doesn't have to say the same thing. I mean, so therefore you're speaking for me. So therefore, once you say it, I can't claim, oh, I didn't say anything. I'm now responsible. It's my speech. We can understand how this works by speech. But here, it seems to be a completely different thing. But the answer is that the shofar is more than just a noise or a sound. It does have the category of kol. That's why you blow the shofar by Malchus, Zichronos, Shofros. And it, so to speak, it ascends. The kol of the shofar ascends, meaning to say it has the status of ideas. It becomes part of the tefillah. So we express ourselves, we express certain ideas through the blasts of the shofar. So now it comes into the category of ideas and speech. It's akin to speech. So therefore you can be blowing it for me, meaning when it comes to utterances that have the character of tefillah or speech, that's where the principle of Shmei HaKona comes in.